Okay, good evening, everyone, and I'd like to call to order the March 21st, 2023 Budget and Finance Commission to order. Andrea, would you go through roll call, please?
Commissioner Fortunato. Here. Commissioner LeMay. Vice Chair Liard.
Here. Here.
Commissioner Carr.
Here.
Chair Mason.
Here. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We have anyone that would like to address the commission today?
No speakers, Chair.
Okay, we'll move on to Mr. Gephardt, staff report.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Budget season, just a few comments this afternoon. Budget season is in full swing. Our next meeting scheduled on April 18th, we will be discussing and rolling out the town manager's recommended budget. We are targeting April 14th for when that will be daylighted and distributed to both council and the Budget and Finance Commission. So you should have at least the weekend, hopefully, to and Monday to review that document, and we'll have discussion again on that and details at the next meeting. The town manager search is underway. Ongoing, there have been some extra council meetings related to that search. I believe, and I just don't have any details in terms of where all of that stands. Truthfully, I haven't been following it that closely, but they are making progress and headway. I think they are trying to narrow it down to finalists in early May, I want to say. Andrea can probably correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's April, but anyways. The town is updating, it's in the process of updating its two-year strategic plan. Study session is scheduled for April 5th at the council meeting for that. Just wanted to make you aware of that. And then Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, at the last council meeting, there was a study session where a consultant presented I don't want to say a master plan, but just some details that they were thinking about including in a draft master plan. I believe that's coming back to council for discussion in May, so I wanted to make you aware of that as well, that draft master plan will come back for more discussion before council in May. So with that, that concludes my comments this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrea, could you go ahead and read item one, please?
Agenda item one, review and approval of the February 21st, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
Are there any questions from any of the commission? Do I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Second?
I second that motion.
So, Commissioner Laird... Commissioner Laird presented the motion to approve, and it's seconded by Commissioner Carr. So since we have the financial update on the computers, we want to go ahead and read item three, and we'll proceed with that. Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any approve? Any disapprove? Motion carried. So is it okay if we proceed with item three?
Agenda item three, presentation and possible discussion of the town's FY 22-23 financial update through January 2023.
All right. Good afternoon. Good evening, commission members. I'm pleased to be presenting our financial report through January. I'll say first off that everything continues to look positive. We have seen a bit of a slowdown in some of the revenues as expected, you know, our permit revenues, sales tax moderating just a bit. But this is really where our conservative budgeting practices shine. Our conservative revenue forecasting, we are still in great shape compared to the budget. In fact, still projecting an overage in our revenues at year end. So we'll jump right in. I got to turn this on first. First, our disclaimer slide. We've touched on this before. Our year-end estimates are subject to change. In most cases, we don't factor in some of the audit adjusting entries that are required at year-end, adjusting for marking our investments to market value and such. And so we should take our financials with a grain of salt in that regard, that things are subject to change. But overall, as I mentioned right off the bat, our revenues and expenditures are performing quite well compared to budget. So we'll start with the general fund and our major revenue sources there. Local sales tax continues to look strong compared to budget. We're just under 62% through January. We continue to see better than expected trends in contracting sales tax, retail, restaurant and bar, hotels, and remote seller. So nearly all of our categories still performing quite well compared to what we had budgeted. You can see the overage there. We're expecting about $1.6 million. State shared revenues, we've mentioned this category before. That overage that we're expecting at year end is due to our state sales tax. Those are coming in better than expected. So you can see we're already at 59% through January for those revenue sources, and there typically is a bit of a lag on those. Our charges for services, we are expecting to come in about $200,000 under budget in this category. This is due to a couple of things. Transit fares, we've mentioned those previously. Those have been suspended. And we also had our swimming pool, our aquatic center, closed for some time due to some needed capital improvements that they were making at the facility. So we're expecting to see some reduced revenues there by year end. But overall, we've collected 52.6 through January, so still doing fairly well compared to budget. Licenses and permits, we are at 72 single-family residential permits issued through January. Our budget was 171. You can see some of the positive trend there, almost at 78%. That's due more to the commercial side of things. Our La Posada development that's come in this fiscal year, and so our year-end estimate, we have coming in about $200,000 over budget, and that is due to that project primarily. Our residential revenues are still doing decent compared to budget. And that's because we are conservative in terms of the revenue per permit that we budget for our residential activity. And we've also seen continued improvements, alterations, and that kind of thing that come in as well that help supplant that income. Grant revenues, we are at 84.6% or $385,000 through January. We have a little bit extra that we're factoring in for year end, and that's some additional revenue that we're getting for several department grants. You can see there, transit, parks and recreation, as well as police. And then our all other category that includes our intergovernmental revenue, so our IGA revenues with the RTA for transit, our interest income, and then our miscellaneous revenues. You can see we've collected a little over 78% of the budget through January, but we have mentioned in previous reports that AMRRP rebate that we received earlier in the fiscal year, kind of driving that year-end variance. In total for the general fund revenues, we are just under 62% or $31.4 million collected through January. You can see we are expecting a favorable budget variance of about $3.1 million or 6%, and that's really due to our largest categories, local sales tax and state shared revenues, but also obviously that AMRRP rebate helping out, and then some of those commercial permit revenues. Moving on to the expenditure side of things for the general fund, personnel expenditures are at $16.7 million or 48% of budget through January. That may sound a little low, but again, we have begun to pay off the unfunded liability on our correctional officers plan. So we have started doing those monthly dedicated payments to the court plan that you'll see in the actuals through the end of the fiscal year. But also what's reflected here is the timing of our payrolls. So we have three payrolls that are hitting in March and three payrolls that will post in June. And so when you're looking at just, you know, an even trend of January through the end of the fiscal year, the timing of the payrolls always kind of plays a part in that too. But we are expecting some vacancy savings at the end of the year. We've had some position refills, positions that have been budgeted but have been vacant for a little bit of time due to some difficulty in filling those positions and recruiting for them. So you can see that reflected in the year-end estimate there. About $1 million under budget at year-end is our current estimate. You can see on the operations and maintenance, we've spent just under $7.3 million, or 61.7% of budget. Again, as we've mentioned in previous months, we do have that claim settlement payment that we've posted in there for the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve. But we also have some on-call plan review services that are tied to that La Posada development that we're covering in our Community and Economic Development Department. So you can see our year-end estimate, about $12.5 million for year-end, so about a $700,000 variance compared to budget. Capital, we've spent just under $300,000 or 21% of our budget through January. We are expecting to see a bit of a variance there, reduced amount compared to budget. And that's really primarily due to the westward look improvements that are expected to continue into next fiscal year. So that's the bulk of that variance that you see there. Transfers out are at $6.5 million, or 39.8% of budget. When we bring back the February financials, you'll see the second transfer, budgeted transfer to the capital fund for our CIP projects. One year-end estimate that we have changed compared to our mid-year financials is the transfers out for the general fund, and that's because we budgeted a fiber infrastructure grant-funded project in our new grants and contributions fund. We were not awarded that grant. It did have a local match involved, and so you can see the transfers that we've brought down the year-end estimate by about $450,000 to reflect that we won't be doing that transfer into the grants fund as a result of not receiving that award. That project will not be moving forward. In total, in the general fund, we've spent about $30.9 million, or 47.9% of budget through January. You can see at the end of the year, we're expecting to come in about $1 million under budget, $1.1 million, or 1.7%. Again, that's the transfers out amount, as well as some of the personnel savings that we're expecting at year end. Here's the chart for the general fund. Revenues, 31.4 collected compared to 30.8 million last year. Expenditures are down over last year, $30.9 million compared to $34.6 million. We did have our PSPRS payment last year, which is causing some of that to look off there in terms of the higher amount that you see last year. Good news, because of the strong revenue trends that we're seeing, the positive expenditures and some of those savings that we're seeing there, we did budget to use fund balance of just under $14 million. And we're only expecting currently to use 9.6. Obviously, that'll continue to be massaged and fine-tuned as we progress through the fiscal year. But if anything, I expect that number to improve. We are expecting to land at a fund balance of about $20.8 million. That's 43.2% of our budgeted expenditures. And so that exceeds Council's 30% reserve policy by about $6.4 million. Moving on to the highway fund, we have not changed any year-end estimates here. Things continue to look positive in this fund, trending overall as expected. Licenses and permits continue to perform well compared to budget. We're at just under 17,000 collected. We are still sticking to budget with that figure, but we'll keep watching that as we progress. Our HRF revenues, we've collected about 56.8% of budget, or $2.3 million. We'll continue to watch those. We had seen a little bit of improvement over the last couple months, so we are still estimating on budget at this time for that revenue source. And then we've mentioned our all other. We did get a vendor refund that posted for some previous year credits, and so that's been reflected in our slight year-end estimate you see there. We are seeing some positive trends, not just in the highway fund, it's mentioned here, but not just in the highway fund and our other funds with our interest income. Things are really starting to turn around there after a little bit of losses we saw there. It's a little too soon to tell what the ending market value might look like, but we might be looking at, definitely better than last fiscal year. But moving forward, the trends are positive to really start seeing a turnaround in that revenue source. But again, just a little too volatile to forecast at this time. We may try updating some of those year-end estimates in February, but it has been a little all over the place, and so it's a little bit hard to pinpoint, but we'll see what that looks like and maybe adjust that. Again, for the highway fund, just expecting to come in a smidge over budget due to that vendor refund that I'd mentioned. On the expenditure side for the highway fund, no surprises there. Personnel, we've spent about $635,000 through January, which equates to 52.8% of budget. Expecting to come in about on budget there. That's, again, the actuals are reflective of our timing of payrolls, similar to the general fund. Operations and maintenance, we've spent just under 40% of our budget through January. That may seem a little low, but we tend to ramp up the spending in this fund towards the end of the fiscal year, so we are expecting just some slight savings there with O&M, but for the most part, we generally spend what's budgeted in here for those categories. Capital, you can see the actuals continue to slog in. We're at about $1.2 million through January, or 45.5% of budget. We are expecting to hit budget for this fund. For capital, the pavement preservation program is ongoing. We will mention that the La Cañada Mill and Overlay project is going to exceed budget. We did go to council for approval to use capital fund contingency. And so any of that overage will not hit the highway fund. It'll actually post in the capital fund. So that's where we'll be utilizing those funds. In total, we spent just under $2.2 million in highway fund expenditures, about 46.3%. And just a little bit of O&M savings that we're expecting, you can see there at fiscal year end. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Revenues, $2.4 million compared to $2.3 million last year, so nothing super exciting there. Expenditures are down $2.2 million compared to $2.7 million, but again, the bulk of expenditures in this fund are capital related, and so that's largely just the timing you see there of budgeted CIP in this fund. We are expecting to use fund balance of about $481 million. We had planned to use about $490 million, and that would land us at a fund balance of about $726,000 for this fund at year end. And finally, the Community Center Fund. Things continue to look positive in this fund, both from the contracted perspective and the town side of things. You can see the contracted operating revenues are at $2.6 million collected through January, which is about 64.1% of their budget. We are trending better than expected. You can see that year-end estimate, $4.4 million compared to $3.94 million. That is member dues and their food and beverage revenues, which are both performing quite well compared to what they'd expected. Town operating revenues, after a slow start to the fiscal year, those are looking strong. We've collected about $572,000, or 64.4% of budget through January. Member dues and daily drop-ins are both performing well compared to budget. Other revenues is our half-cent sales tax revenues, but also HOA contributions for the golf course properties, some real property rental income, interest income, and that sort of thing. You can see there we've collected about 59% of budget, or $2.2 million through January. We are expecting to come in just a bit over due to some of the positive trends that we're seeing in the half-cent sales tax. Again, conservative revenue forecasting playing in our favor here. In total, community center fund revenues, we've collected just under $5.3 million through January, or 62.1%, expecting a favorable budget variance of just under $700,000, or just over 8%. And that's due to the strong golf revenues that we're seeing, as well as the half-cent sales tax revenue. On the expenditure side of things for Community Center Fund, positive here. On the contracted side, you can see they've spent just under $2.8 million through January. That's about 58.5% of their budget. Expecting just a little bit of savings from primarily O&M utilities, but they do have a little bit of personnel savings factored in there as well. On the town side of things, we've spent about $970,000, or 57.3% of budget. We are expecting to come in a bit over budget on the town side, and that's just due to full implementation of our class and comp plan earlier in the fiscal year. Capital outlay, we've spent about 39.4% of budget, or about $1.1 million through January. We are expecting a variance there. You can see below budget that is due to the ADA improvements project carrying into the next fiscal year. And then finally, our transfers out. We've mentioned this category before. Council's direction was to program any additional amount that we can do in excess of $1 million in fund balance in this fund and direct it towards the cost of the golf irrigation project. So you can see that reflected in our year-end estimate, just directing those excess funds towards that project. So that is a transfer out to the capital fund that you see there, as well as debt service on the Parks and Rec bonds. In total, we've spent about $6.8 million in the Community Center Fund through January. That's about 51.7% of budget. And again, expecting a budget variance of just under $900,000, or 6.7% over, and that's due primarily to the additional transfer out. Here's the chart for the Community Center Fund. Revenues, $5.3 million compared to $5.1 million last year, so a bit of growth there. Expenditures, $6.8 million compared to $3.4 million. But again, $2 million of that is our Parks and Rec debt service, and then additional expenditures and capital that were budgeted in this fund for this fiscal year. We did plan on using fund balance of about $4.7 million. Due to that additional transfer out, it's going to look like 4.9. That's the additional transfer out offset with some of the positive revenue trends in the fund. And again, that would bring us to a fund balance of about $1 million per council direction. And with that, we'd be happy to take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. Do we have any questions?
Wendy, thank you for your great presentation. And I just have one quick point of information question. If you could explain to me on the general fund, when the expenditures do not reach the 30% policy, what happens to that additional funding that wasn't pre-programmed? Does that just get put into fund balance for the next year, or what happens when you go over that 30%?
Right. Chair Mason, Vice Chair Laird, that's a great question. Per our financial policies, any amount exceeding that council reserve policy goes towards PSPRS unfunded liability, which we are nearly there with our funding plan. And the other piece that it would go towards is capital projects. So now that we've, for the most part, gotten the unfunded liability for PSPRS under control and taken care of, the bulk of that would go towards capital projects.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Just a couple. Are you noticing more, I guess, project cost overruns just because of the time we're in?
Chair Mason, we are in a few areas, not all. One of the areas that our town engineer has mentioned a lot has been asphalt. And that's some of the reasons why, like I mentioned, that La Cañada Mill Overlay Project and anything involving asphalt, including pavement preservation, they're really seeing a lot of increases there. So that's the main area that I've heard so far. It seems like some of the struggles we were having with obtaining materials has maybe softened a little bit and improved a little bit. So, but asphalt is still, unfortunately, seeing some sizable increases there.
Okay, thanks. Just In the community center fund, I noticed in the food and beverage and personnel areas, you might go over budget a little bit by the end of the year. Is there something going on in that area there? Or?
Chair Mason, was this on the revenues or?
The expenditures.
Let's see.
It says under contracted operating food and beverage, you're estimating, I guess, $522,000.
Yes, Chair Mason. Yeah, on food and beverage, I believe that's just due to some of the growth that they're seeing on the revenue side and needing staff to fill that demand there. That's likely what that's attributable to. On the personnel, it looks like they're actually forecasting a little bit of savings, and that is exclusive of their food and beverage. So their food and beverage personnel is actually embedded in that food and beverage line. If I had to guess, it would be a combination of maybe personnel, but also their cost of sales. When they're doing increased sales and collecting increased revenues and their sales are up, obviously the cost of the product is going to go up as well. So, in fact, that may be more what it's tied to versus personnel costs.
Still plans on doing anything with the restaurant to open it up more, or is that still on hold?
Vice Chair Mason, I believe that's on hold. I haven't heard anything in that regard in quite a while. Dave, our CFO, may have something to share. Mr. Gephardt may be able to.
No, but Chair Mason, members of the commission, I don't have anything to add on that. I think our contractor is, they continue to evaluate what is the most effective a level of service for that operation, and they make adjustments as necessary, and so I think that, you know, it's something that as demand increases, as Wendy said, that, you know, they do have to staff a little bit more, but they are keenly focused on the bottom line because of their performance driven contract that they have with the town. So,
okay, thank you. That's all the questions we have. Thanks, Wendy.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, we'll proceed to item two, and Andrea, could you please read that, please?
Agenda item two, presentation and discussion of PSPRS pension funding and related pension funding policy.
So Dave, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Mason, members of the commission. Before you this evening, I've included a number of attachments. First, you have the existing pension funding policy for the current fiscal year as a reference, and then a draft pension funding policy for next fiscal year, which we hope to discuss this evening. Additionally, I've included the actuarial valuations for both the core plan and the PSPRS plan as attachments as well for reference for you this evening. The draft pension funding policy before you this evening for next fiscal year pretty much utilizes the same format and template as the current policy. I have updated the figures in the policy for the new actuarial valuations. Additionally, on page, I believe it's four, let me just flip there really quick here. Went too far. There we go. Okay. On page three, I guess it is. There's a section there. It's bulleted there. Payments to PSPRS will be as follows. I have adjusted that language as well, not for the second bullet, but really for that first bullet that you see. This section is really intended to give the reader, the user, a sense of how we're funding our pensions upcoming in the current and future fiscal years. And so that first bullet really deals with, it says that in fiscal year 23, which is the current fiscal year that we're in, the town will make approximately $2.01 million in additional payments to Corp to fund its unfunded actuarial liability. And then the second bullet, again, is really... I believe it's the same language verbatim as the current pension funding policy. So what we're doing here is when we issued, here's the backstory on this. When we issued the pension obligation bonds in July of 2021, The bond issuance was really intended to deal with the liabilities from both the PSPRS police plan and the court plan, which covers our dispatchers. When the bond issuance went through and the monies went directly to PSPRS, they really applied that entire bond issuance and reserve payment as well to the PSPRS police pension fund, PSPRS police plan, which was great. That's why the police plan currently looks like it's slightly overfunded. It provided actually a little bit of cushion in that plan, and that plan really was, from an actuarial liability standpoint, was the largest challenge, for the town to deal with financially, just because of its scope and size. So that was fine. That was kind of a decision that PSPRS made on the town's behalf. It certainly wasn't intentional that the town wanted PSPRS to make it to do that, to apply it that way, but that's what they ended up doing. With that said, the police plan is currently slightly overfunded at 102.0%. We still have this issue with the court plan being underfunded. So if you look at historically that the amortization of the actuarially accrued liability historically has been, especially recently, around that $2 million mark. That's about the amount that we've been paying to pay down or amortize our accrued actuarial liability townwide. If you look at the CORP actuarial report, again, which is attached for you this evening, their total liability is a little over $2 million. So what we decided to do is take the excess funding that was budgeted. It is in the current budget. It's budgeted for this current fiscal year. Take that excess funding and apply it all to the CORP and bring them up to be fully funded at the end of this fiscal year. And then moving forward, as we look at next fiscal year, the idea is, again, that we'll take that $2 million, it's actually more than that, and I'll get into that in a second, but take that excess that we would have been paying for the paying down the accrued liability, take that excess and funnel it back towards the PSPRS plan, with the hope that eventually we would reach 110% funding status and be able to dial back those contributions in future budgets. With that said, the plan, the draft before you this evening, it's on page 2, kind of in that bottom paragraph there where it's got some different bullets. It's got about three different, it's got five bullets, but bleeds over into the next page. But the three bottom bullets there, I wanted to kind of highlight those. So this also has been updated based upon our personnel model, which, of course, when you implement a new pay plan, as the town did this current fiscal year at the beginning of the year, that has an impact on retirement contributions. The percentages are impacted on a higher base, so that has an impact there. So I changed that first bullet there. The estimated total cost for PSPRS next fiscal year is $3.7 million. A little over $1 million of that is due to the normal cost component of the rate, and about $2.7 million of it is related to just applying that 43.47%. To the payroll base, and it equates to about $2.7 million in paying down the actuarial accrued liability, that amortization again, which doesn't exist. So really, it's just an additional payment towards the plan. It's just added cushion and protection for the town moving forward. And then in terms of CORP, once the CORP is fully funded, if you look at the funding there, the total contribution for CORP, their funding level once they're fully funded ought to revert back to, again, that normal cost component, that normal cost rate. And that equates to about $75,000 on an annual basis based upon their payroll. Just, again, much smaller in scope and size. So With that said, there is one more thing I'd like to kind of point out here. And so just to give you a sense, there's a couple things I want to address before I forget. First off, I know there was a question at the last meeting about a model, and the PSPRS does put out a model. I have requested an updated model from the plan. I have not received that from them yet, but that has been requested. I hope to have that at the next meeting, and maybe we can run through what that looks like and some different scenarios and things if that's the desire of the commission. Secondly, I did want to point out the actuarial report that you have, especially the PSPRS one. I believe it's on page 8. So if you can turn to page 8, it has the impact of additional contributions to the plan. It's something that the actuaries put into the report that gives the town a sense that if they contributed whatever amount of money, that's what impact it would have towards the funded status and the contribution rate. And so if you look at this, these are all in thousands. So if you look at the $2,000, and again, that's just to give you a sense, this is why I highlight this, to give you a sense. $2,000 there is really $2 million because everything's in thousands. So if the town contributed an additional $2 million towards the PSPRS plan next fiscal year, that would bring our funded status up to 104.6% and bring our fiscal 24 contribution rate down to 8.22%. So I mention that and highlight it because $2 million is essentially the excess that we have been paying. That's what we've been budgeting and paying over the last couple, two or three years. Again, that's going to, keeping that rate the same, that ramps up to about $2.7 million. So if you go to the $3 million column there, you see that the funded status goes from 104.6% to almost 106%. So splitting the difference there, not getting too precise, obviously, because we don't know what investment returns are going to be for this current fiscal year, and that's certainly going to have an impact here. But if you kind of split the difference there, if we said, well, we contributed $2.5 million or slightly more than that, $2.6, $2.7 million towards in excess contributions, that ought to bring the town to about a little over 105% funding level for next fiscal year. And then if we did that 2 years in a row, that we would basically be at that 110% funding level for the PSPRS police pension funding, police pension plan. So I hope that makes sense as to what the intent here is and what that might look like moving forward. With that, I'd be more than happy to address any questions that the commission has. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
I just have a comment. I like the timeline. I like knowing when the city will achieve a rate that will help maintain, and we won't have to be making up, especially as, budgets in the future may constrict in some way, that if we're kind of getting ahead of that now, then we're not using all of our personnel costs towards retirement.
Okay. Along those lines, when we first started making up this policy, we were at, 43.6%, whatever the contribution rate was. And I thought at the time that the amortization of the unfunded was about $2.5 million. So I guess what I was thinking, or I guess what I assumed was that instead of changing the percentage, is that we would just make that kind of a flat $2.5 million additional costs, to keep until we did the bond issue. Is that something that we might want to consider from a policy instead of changing our rate all the time is just have it a flat fee of $2.5 million or whatever you guys, so it doesn't keep going up all the time?
Yeah, certainly, Chair Mason, member of the commission. Absolutely. I mean, that's something that you as a commission could recommend as a change to this document where it isn't percentage-based, but it is value-based moving forward. So it's kind of a fixed amount of excess that the town contributes. Because you're right, as we implemented the new pay plan this year, that certain, you know, the rate times the higher average compensation for our police and our dispatchers has an impact on the total cost, which then has an impact on the budget, certainly. So, and that's only going to continue next fiscal year because they are, our police is primarily, especially at the, officer levels and so forth, the sworn levels, they are on a step-based compensation plan. So that and it's brand new and whatnot. So that is only going to have an impact, have more of an impact moving forward into next fiscal year as well and future fiscal years. So again, I think if the commission is interested, and certainly $2.5 million again is kind of splitting the difference between that. That $2 million mark and the $3 million that they show and those excess contributions on that schedule on page 8. I think that pretty much hits the mark. But with that said, I do want to reiterate, the town has been paying a little over $2 million. It hasn't been $2.5 million towards the unfunded. I don't know that it's ever reached that level or that amount, but $2.5 million is more than it has been contributing and moving forward. I think, again, that this really provides a significant amount of protection and risk avoidance towards down markets in future years for PSPRS and the town moving forward on its budget.
Would you rather keep it around $2 million as a flat? I just think instead of having a percentage where it keeps going up, because $2 million obviously will raise it at least a couple percentage points, so... I guess with whatever it is you think is the best way to go, but I just think maybe having a fix, whatever it's $2 million or $2.5 million, whatever you think is would meet the mark would be the best way to go.
Yeah, Chair Mason, members of the commission, I think I'm more inclined to go a little bit higher because I'm trying to reach that 110% funding level sooner than later, where it can really provide budget savings because we do have. In a couple years, we do have some issues that the town needs to deal with, especially on the capital side, where we are going to be looking for budget savings, certainly. And I know, I think you're aware that the town, council is certainly aware that the town has some needs for a new police facility or an expanded police facility, whatever form that takes. And so, that's going to take some money, and again, I think just as the town continues to move forward, as we approach build out, so forth, I think just having those savings is going to really prove useful moving forward and in protecting the town and keeping it financially secure. So,
I guess that was my other thought. Do you still think 110% is what we should achieve? I was kind of thinking that once we get above 105, that then it's up to you guys as part of the budget process. I mean, because what we say here is that once we reach 110%, the town management through the budget process may recommend applying funds to other town priorities. And I'm just wondering, are you guys locked into 110, or you could, instead of 110, we could say 105, and unless you guys think you want to put more to it, getting along the same lines that there's other priorities you probably want to put money on. And I'm not sure if you got an actual report for this shows two fiscal years of around 106, to say, as an example, percent both years. Would you really want to add another $2.5 million just to make it that much higher? I guess that's kind of my question to you.
Sure, Chair Mason, members of the commission. That's a good question. I am in favor of a cap. Whatever that cap looks, I think anything beyond 110%, I think that's the upward limit of the cap that I'm in favor of. I'm not in favor of going higher than 110%. I don't think that that's a wise use of taxpayer funds. I don't think overfunding the pension really provides any benefit. I think you're sacrificing current service levels for a future period of time for our police. The goal is 100% funding. It's not 110% funding. So with that said, I'm not in favor of going more than 110% funding, but going less, that's up to you. I mean, you can certainly provide that recommendation, and it's up to council to decide what they're comfortable with. I would be fine with 105% funding, but I think the higher the going between 105 and 110, it just provides more protection against a down year, two or three, that the plan may experience in its investment returns, and then we're coming back and having to address an issue again. So I think that's part of the discussion. Whatever the commission, whatever you feel like, this is all about risk mitigation at its heart. So that's what we're talking about here, and where we feel like, and we all may have different opinions on that, but certainly I think 110% provides plenty of risk mitigation. I think 105 is probably fine. But 110 is better than 105. So if we can get to 110, then we're going to be in really good shape. If we're at 105, then we're still in good shape, but we're closer to that 100%. And really, what happens here is just that compounding of investment returns and whatever, especially when you have a good year in the markets and in yields. That really has an impact to become a significant catalyst moving forward to where you can really dial back future contributions, especially that normal cost rate. So that's, but that's all part of the discussion here. So
just one other comment. I think it was in your projections when we did the five-year projections, and you were projecting in the out years at like a 30% decrease. Were you wanting to decrease that 2.5 down 30%, or were you wanting to change the funding rate?
Yeah, Chair Mason, you have a good memory. So when we did our five-year projection during last budget season, we did kind of not knowing again where we were going to land last year with investment returns in the plan, we did kind of dial that back or take a stab at dialing it back in future years, assuming that we were at some point going to be well overfunded in the plan. We're going to refine that this year based upon the new actuarial. We finally again know where we're, have a good sense of what impact all that additional funding, the pension obligation bond and reserve payment had on the funding level, the funding status of the plan. So that allows us to significantly, refine our forecast moving forward. I think it is really dependent upon the recommendation out of this commission and then the decision made by council with the policy for next fiscal year. That really informs us as to what that looks like in future budget years. Again, because we, going back to that schedule on page 8, we can, with pretty good certainty, again, not perfect certainty, but pretty good certainty, figure out how long it's going to take us to get to either that 105 or 107.5 or 110% funding level, whatever that top limit is that is under discussion, And then once we're there, then we can start dialing back those excess payments moving forward. So,
does any of the commissioners have any thoughts? Stay at the. You want to? Sounds like you'd rather stay at the 110%. If we want to change the contribution to a flat 2.5, is that reasonable to you?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, we live in a conservative town. And so, I think 110%, the more I think about it, the more I think it's probably best just to leave that at least for another year, and then maybe we can consider it again, but because we have to update this policy on an annual basis. But I am in favor. I do like the idea of kind of capping that annual excess contribution. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. Whatever the commission is comfortable with, within the bounds of what we can support from ongoing operational funding and revenues, I think $2.5 million is better than 2.6 or 2.7. That provides us $100,000 or $200,000 of operational savings, which may not sound like a lot, but this is actually going to be a fairly tight budget in this upcoming year. So we've been doing a lot of trimming and cutting in different areas, trying to make sure that we're set up in a good position moving forward for when the challenges come in about 2 or 3 years from now. So,
do any of the commissioners have any thoughts on the $2.5 million flat? Does that seem appropriate to you, or any comments?
I actually like it. It's a simple number to follow instead of chasing a percentage. I think it's easier to understand.
I think just from a budgeting perspective, it gives concrete numbers for the city to work with.
So do we need to make a motion to change our contribution to a flat $2.5 million for the unfunded portion of the actuarial liability?
I think I've got the direction here. So this pension funding policy is in draft form. And what I can do is I can make that edit and bring it back at the next meeting. You can review it, make sure it meets what you're looking for and intending to achieve. And then if you're comfortable, either approve it or whatever you decide to do at the next meeting. But I think that's probably what I would recommend. I've got the direction. This is, this is kind of a discussion item, and I'm just looking for direction here from the commission as to what it's comfortable with.
Okay, that'll be fine. Does everybody agree to that? Yes, that'll be fine. It's Mayor Winfield's not here today. Are there any future agenda items anybody would like to propose? None. Okay. I'd like to have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
A motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second that motion.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Carr and a second by Commissioner Laird, and we'll adjourn the meeting at 4:52. Thank you.